Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 28 of Dogcast Radio. In this episode, we have travel advice for you and your dog.
I started out with the title of my book because people would say, well, I have a dog, it makes it hard to travel. And I finally decided, well, okay, let's just convince people that it really is not that hard. So that's where I hit upon the title, Have Dog, Will Travel.
We hear about a different poodle litter.
They're party-coloured, party poodles. Their colour is broken up.
And we have two-minute fiction with a story called The Benchmark. But before all that...
Now, for our younger listeners, it's puppy playtime! Hi, and welcome to Puppy Playtime. Did you know that October has been a really good month for dogs? Across America, it has been Adopt-a-Shelter Dog Month, which means lots of dogs without their own home have been given a chance to find a new family to love. You can find out more about this on the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals site. In the UK, October the 18th was Walk Your Dog to School Day, organised by Battersea Dogs and Cats Home. Again, you can find out more about it and also lots of other fun stuff on the Battersea website. As Battersea points out, walking your dog is a great way to get fit, as well as being fun. But did you know that your dog is good for you in many ways? Just stroking your dog can lower your blood pressure. And a New York University discovered that this effect lasts even after you've stopped stroking your pet. It has also been found that dog owners have less cholesterol in their blood and need to see their doctor less often, which is great news. Should they need an operation or suffer in a serious illness, dog owners are more likely to recover. Therapy dogs who visit hospitals, old people's homes and schools bring all these benefits to the people there. Dogs not only make us healthier, they make us feel better too. A dog's company stops you feeling lonely. Your dog loves you and always seems to understand. Dog owners don't feel sad as much as non-dog owners, and they also don't worry about things as much. Having a dog as a child has been shown to be very good for you, increasing social skills and self-esteem, as well as decreasing the chance of asthma and allergies. It may sound silly, but reading to your dog is a terrific way to build confidence because a dog doesn't complain if you go wrong. Of course, we don't really think about these things normally because having fun and getting out and about with our dogs, then cuddling up with them on the settee at home, comes naturally. It's nice to know, though, that just living with our dogs is doing us so much good. If you don't have your own dog, you could still make the most of dogs. Maybe you could volunteer at your local shelter or even offer to walk, groom or play with a neighbour's dog. Whatever you do, have fun with your dog and make sure your dog has fun with you.
Would you like to travel with your dog, but you need a little help finding where to stay or maybe even how to organise yourself and what to take? Well, Barbara Whittaker has just the knowledge you need. She has brilliant advice about taking your dog on the road with you and has written travel guides on the subject.
Well, I actually have two current editions. One is Have Dog, Will Travel, California edition. And that discusses, well, both of my books discuss traveling with your pet, how to get started, what to pack, some first aid and travel etiquette information, things that'll get you out there and going with your dog. Then my California edition also includes a directory of all the dog-friendly places you can spend the night, hotels, bed and breakfast, motels, cabins, and vacation homes. And then my other current edition is Have Dog, Will Travel Northwest edition, and that includes all of the same travel information as well as a directory specifically for the Northwest states, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. So between the two, I can get travelers and their pets anywhere from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, all up and down the West Coast.
That's very good. And that's sort of when you want to travel with your dog, that's the kind of essential information you need at your fingertips, isn't it? Where can we stay? Where can we go?
Right. There are quite a lot of books out already that talk about what you can do with your dog during the day, where the pet-friendly hiking trails are and the parks that allow dogs, the beaches that allow dogs, and so on. But the hardest part is finding a place where you can spend the night. And so that's what I've concentrated on, to fill that void. There's nothing more scary than, you know, pulling into a wonderful town and having fun all day long with your dog, and then it's starting to get dark, and you think, well, where are we going to lay our heads down tonight? So this gives you that advance information so that you can call ahead, reserve a pet-friendly room, and you know you're good to go. So you can have fun all day long knowing that you're set for the night.
So we've said you're, that's where your guides cover, but wherever we're traveling with our dog, what sort of general advice do you have for people traveling like that?
Well, you want to make sure that you and your dog have in advance decided that you're going to observe the basic obedience rules. And I really recommend that people take a couple of obedience classes with their dog to firmly establish what the requirements are for your dog as a well-behaved traveler. It is said that you only need a couple of commands for your dog to really get by. One is no, obviously, and the other is come, in case your dog gets out of your hand, off leash or whatever. There are a couple of others that are very useful. Of course, it's good if your dog is trained to walk beside you politely. So the heel command is a good one to have. And one that's unexpected but incredibly useful when you travel is the wait command. As you're driving and you pull into a parking lot and you're about ready to get out and go on a little fun trail, you want to be sure that before you open any car door, that you put the leash on your dog's collar and say, wait, so that your dog knows that it must wait until you open the door and have the leash firmly in hand before the dog is going to come hurtling out of the car. There is nothing scarier for a dog than being separated from its owner in an unfamiliar place.
Yeah.
And the use of the leash and, of course, collar with ID tag, but leash wait command can prevent an unfortunate situation of your dog getting loose, and it can just lead to all sorts of problems. So the wait command is really a good one to train your dog for.
I mean, definitely the heel command, I think, is so useful. Because, you know, you're seeing new places as well, and you want to see them at your pace, on your terms, not dragged along through them, do you?
Absolutely. Also, if you're going to a very popular place for dogs and people, there may well be other people out there with other dogs walking on leash, and you don't want to have a maypole effect where multiple dogs are milling around their owners and wrapping the leashes around legs and arms and everything else. So if your dog is trained to heel, tight to your knee, then you know that your dog's in a good place. And even if someone else's dog is not as well contained, you and your dog can very easily veer off and get around any obstacle like that. And it helps the bond between the owner and the dog to know exactly how to move together as a unit.
Yes.
And they think it's fun, which is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any other commands that we need to teach our dogs to travel with us?
Well, you need come, you need sit and stay, heel and wait, and, of course, the all-important no, so that the dog knows that whatever it's doing, here's the no command to immediately stop that. And that's about it. There are, you know, a whole raft of different show commands that are given to dogs that can be quite fun for dogs to go through those paces. But to be a well-behaved traveler, it's really very simple. And a couple of basic obedience classes with your dog can be really fun, and it increases the trust and the bond between owner and dog. And that's about all it takes.
Yeah, and I think then you can go out there and sort of be a good ambassador for dog owners, can't you?
Absolutely. It's what I call in my books being a well-behaved traveler. Mm. And a lot of trainers will tell you that the training process is really more to retrain humans than the dogs. The dogs pick up the commands and the whole idea a lot faster than humans do. But yes, when we function together as well-behaved travelers, both four-footed and two-footed, then we can go out and enjoy ourselves in the public and in nature, but we also can help to reinforce the idea in other people's minds, first of all, that if they have dogs, they need to get their dogs into that well-behaved routine. And also, a well-behaved dog staying at a pet-friendly hotel reinforces to the hotel owners and managers that this is a service they can continue to offer to their customers without their establishment suffering damage from dogs that are not so well trained. So yes, we are ambassadors both to the public and to the hotel industry.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about how we want our dogs to behave when we're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of behaviors should we take on board when we're traveling with our dogs? I'm thinking specifically, I mean, the one that springs to mind, obviously, is clean up after them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that means being prepared in advance with the right supplies, whether you go with, you know, reusable scoopers and so on, or if you're going to carry little plastic bags, and there are various little carriers that will attach to the handle of your leash or attach to a belt so that you've always got those proper supplies. You want to, as far as where you're staying at night, you want to be sure and bring along the dishes that your dog will be eating out of so that you're not using the hotel's good china, that kind of thing. Mm. Of course, don't put the food bowls down on beautiful carpet. Generally, the bathroom floor in a hotel room is a hard, easy to clean surface, so that's where to put that. Of course, make sure that your dog's never left alone in the room when you're not there. The maids don't like to come into a room where there's an unexpected animal. It's scary for them, and it's easy for the animal to just scamper right out the door and get lost. Mm.
Yeah.
And never let your dog bark in a room. And that is something that you can train in advance for the dog to not bark.
Mm-hmm.
So it boils down to common courtesy not to infringe on the rights and privacy and enjoyment of any of the other people that you encounter during the day out in public places with your dog or in the places where you're staying at night.
Mm-hmm. It is something that you've got to obviously think through ahead because, I mean, if you travel with children, you know, sometimes there's a babysitting service offered. But when you travel with a dog, it's your responsibility 24/7. That's it.
It is. Now, there are a number of places that you can stay that also have some of the very nice sideline services like dog walking, doggy daycare, if you will, and those are really nice services, but you can't always count on them being available unless you've investigated that in advance and reserved a daycare time slot for your dog. So it is very much like traveling with children. You have to plan ahead, and once you get into the routine of doing that, it really becomes second nature. I mean, you ask a mom what she does during the day, and she'll just say, oh, well, we just played with the kids all day. And you know for a fact that mom's got 27 million things going through her head, but they become second nature.
So when it works well, obviously, it's great. And, you know, it's lovely to have that extra, that vacation time to spend with your dog. And the dogs, as you say, really appreciate coming with us and having these experiences.
Oh, absolutely.
Is there any sort of type of either holiday or method of travel that you would say sort of maybe don't take your dog with you in those circumstances?
Well, my emphasis has always been on traveling in an automobile with dogs. And part of the reason for that is that you don't necessarily have to fly across the continent or across an ocean to find a place where you can have fun spending time with your dog. These days, taking an animal onto an airplane is more stressful for the animal, unless you've got a tiny, tiny dog that will fit into a little soft-sided carrier that you can take into the cabin. But if you're going to have to put your dog into an airline-approved travel crate down in the luggage section of a plane, that can stress your dog out more than is really worth it. Of course, show dogs have a whole different routine, but we don't all have the show dog set up.
No.
And a number of trains will not allow dogs into the cabin area. So I would emphasize more traveling with your dog when you're going to be driving your own vehicle.
Now, obviously, you've enjoyed traveling with your dog, but what was it that inspired you to write your guides?
Actually, that was exactly what inspired me, was traveling with my own pets and finding that every time we wanted to go to a different town on the coast or up into the mountains, we would have to spend a lot of time trying to find a place that did allow dogs. And it's gotten a bit easier in the past few years. More and more places are beginning to allow dogs in at least some of their rooms, although many of them hold a few rooms separate for people who have allergies or health problems, and those rooms, they may never allow dogs in. But there are more and more of them now, and it's just a matter of having to call every place in town to find out. And I finally figured out that if I was going to be doing all of that research, I might as well take it a step further and do a comprehensive research and make it easier for all the other dog lovers who want to take their dogs with them.
Yeah. From personal experience, there's nothing worse than, particularly if the weather's bad and you're standing somewhere in the rain trying to shelter and sort of phoning round on the cell phone, sort of going, "Do you take dogs? Do you take dogs?"
Right. You almost feel like you're pleading with them for anything, even a little stable.
Yes.
So I always recommend that even in going through the directory in my book, for example, to always call ahead and point out once again that you do want to bring your dog, so you want one of their pet-friendly rooms, and have them hold that for you. Although it's fun to be a free spirit and just, take off, and as you say, 5 p.m. and you're on the cell phone calling around, it is fun, and it's nice to have an idea of those who do have a policy of allowing dogs, so those are the ones that you call first.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to get too scheduled. I mean, a certain amount of spontaneity is great fun.
Yes, but as you say, as long as you can find somewhere to lay your head with your dog, yeah.
Right. The main thing that's going to make traveling with your pet easiest is to plan ahead. Put together a tote bag of your dog's things that you need to bring along, the dog's own bed, some older towels that you can use for cleaning off muddy paws or sandy paws, the dog's food. Oh, and one other thing that's very important to consider is bring along a jug of water from your own tap at home that your dog is accustomed to drinking. The reason for that is that water, mineral content in water and the chemicals that are added and so on, that varies a great deal from place to place. And we think of dogs as having cast iron stomachs, but it's not necessarily true. They can really get an upset stomach from drinking water with minerals or additives in it that they're not familiar with. So I recommend that you bring at least a gallon jug of water along from home. And if you're going to be gone, 3 or 4 days, that might be enough. If you're going to be gone longer than that, you gradually start mixing in the local water wherever you're staying, so that your dog's whole system has a chance to get accustomed to that, because there's nothing fun about having a car sick dog. So you want to make sure that you can minimize that problem.
That's an excellent tip. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that's absolutely true. I include on our holiday list, if Buddy's coming with us, I sort of have a section of dog stuff that I need to pack, because I got fed up of sort of getting there and thinking, oh no, I forgot the, you know, the water bowl or the this or that. So now I have a, I have a section. Right. I'm boringly organised and I sort of tick it off. Yes, I've got that. I've got the toys. I've got this. But as you say, you have to be organised. You have to have it all with you.
It just makes it that much easier. And the easier it is to stay organised and get on the road with everything you need, the more fun you can have while you're travelling. So we have a tote bag that is literally Ginger's tote bag, and that is what all of her stuff stays in. The only thing I do is pull out that empty plastic water jug and fill it up and fill the bag for her dog food. And, of course, if you're traveling with a dog that eats canned food, be sure and bring a can opener, because you can't always depend on the hotel room having that for you as well. So
that would be another disaster, wouldn't it?
Yeah, really. Well, there is one thing that I could offer to your listeners, and that is that I have written up a list that I call Ginger's Packing List of the items that I recommend that people do bring for their dog, and that's on my website. Very easy, havedogwilltravel.com. And if they go to the homepage there, they'll see a clickable note for Ginger's Packing List. So that'll make it a little easier to decide what to bring.
So there's no excuses then not to take your dog with you then, is there?
Well, there are a few times when you may not want to take your dog, and of course you have to decide what your activities are going to be and what the weather is, whether to take your dog or not. But if it's a trip that's appropriate for your dog, now there's no excuse. I started out with the title of my book because people would say, well, I have a dog, it makes it hard to travel. And I finally decided, well, okay, let's just convince people that it really is not that hard. So that's where I hit upon the title, Have Dog, Will Travel.
Will.
And hopefully that convinces people that it's easier to do.
Yeah, yeah. And if you make that effort, it is great fun, isn't it? It's a great bonding experience.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, our dogs are part of our family. And for a lot of us empty nesters, the dogs are the family. So there's mom, dad, and the dog, and sometimes the cat that stays home and waves goodbye and says, have fun, we'll see you when you get back.
But cats can cope. Dogs are sort of a bit more, can I come?
Oh, yeah. They'll give you what we call the look, that mournful, how can you leave without me look.
Yes.
So the dogs want to come, and the cats are just as happy to stay home and hold down the home front for us until we get back.
If that has inspired you to let your dog accompany you on your next vacation, there's a link to Barbara's website on the Dogcast site where you can get a copy of Ginger's List and find out more about the travel guides. If you do get to enjoy travel adventures with your dog, let us know how you get on. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. And now, 2 Minute Fiction, The Benchmark, written by Julie Hill, read by Julie Hill. The park was busy, as it was a warm day, with most benches occupied, and the young woman was pleased to have found what she thought was an empty one. As she neared it, though, she spotted an older woman sitting alone. The nearby tree had shielded her from view, and besides, she sat so still, lost in thought. The young woman decided to chance it. "Do you mind if I share your bench?" she asked, sitting before she got an answer. "Busy today, all these office workers, grabbing lunch in the sunshine, and lots of dog walkers, too." "The older woman replied absently. The silence lengthened, and to break it, the younger woman commented, "Lovely spot here, isn't it?" The older woman focused her eyes on the younger one, as if it was an effort to drag herself back from somewhere far away. "Yes, it is. I always come and sit here. Every day. Just sit here. There's no one to enjoy the park with me any more, you see." "Oh, I'm sorry." She fished a sandwich out of her bag, wishing now she hadn't started a conversation if she was going to get the woman's life story. "This is my bench," the older woman announced proudly. "My name's Annie." She nodded, smiling. "Claire," said the younger woman, through her mouth full of lunch. wondering if the woman was homeless and telling her she lived on this bench. Maybe this seemingly harmless-looking woman was mentally ill. Did she think she owned the bench? Might she fight Claire for it, Claire wondered, panicking. I had this bench put here for my Tom, in memory of him, you know. Annie began to get the faraway look again. Claire relaxed a little. Not homeless or mad then, just lonely. Grieving for her husband, Claire thought, feeling some sympathy. He was lovely, my Tom was. I loved him. Annie's eyes had tears in them. And he loved me. Happy years we had together. But then he got ill, and... She left the thought unfinished. Claire thought of her own husband. Would they have happy years together, she wondered? Would she one day be pouring her broken heart out to a stranger? That's Tom. Annie was showing her a photo. Claire looked, seeing Annie in the snapshot, obviously a few years ago, with a different hairstyle, looking a little younger, her husband beside her, and a Labrador dog. He looked a dependable man, Claire thought. She could see why Annie missed him. I sponsored this bench, and I come and sit here every day, and hope my Tom is somewhere happy. He's waiting for me, and one day, when it's my time, we'll be together again. Annie smiled, but a tear trickled down her face. Claire smiled back, her sandwich neglected on her lap, and she squeezed Annie's arm gently. How lovely, thought Claire, that she had the comfort of the belief she and her husband would be reunited. At that point, a man walked up, breaking the moment of empathy between the two women. Come on then, Annie, he said brusquely. I've got my newspaper. Let's get going. Annie stood up. Bye, love. Thanks for the chat. I'd better get going. This is my husband. She nodded towards the man. What? Asked Claire, confused. Hadn't Annie just been saying her husband was dead and how much she missed him? Who's Tom, then? Claire called. But the couple, ambling away, didn't hear her. She turned to look where Annie had been sitting and noticed a small brass plaque fixed to the back of the bench. For Tom, it was inscribed. My best friend, my wonderful companion, my dog. And that was 2 Minute Fiction, The Benchmark. We had the good fortune to meet Anita Bax at a busy photo shoot. Anita is a world-class groomer, having won Golden Scissors Awards in the UK and the US. She also breeds poodles, and if, like me, you thought poodles were always solid black, solid white, or maybe even solid apricot, you'll be just as surprised as I was to hear about the very interesting litter she had just bred.
They're party-coloured, party poodles. Their colour is broken up. Poodles need really to be a solid colour. The Kennel Club requires that any solid colour can be shown and registered. But the party-coloured poodles are not allowed to be registered in this country.
Mm. So you've had a problem with...
Oh yes, we can't register them as such. They are a non-specific colour. So, but they're very attractive, and it occurs when you mix the colours of the poodles.
So I've not come across this before. So what do you need to mix to get these party colours?
Right. You need a female with broken pigmentation, and that then needs to be mated to a male that also carries a broken pigmented gene. And if you're very lucky, you will produce a party-coloured puppy.
And out of your four puppies, two have got
two party-coloured and two are solid-coloured.
And the party-coloured, can you describe the markings that they've got?
Yes, it's got black head with a white blaze, and then it's got two hound markings down its back. So,
and
very attractive.
Is this registered sort of in America? This is you can have a pedigree poodle registered with these party markers.
No, it's not
anywhere.
No, not at this moment in time. No, it's very frowned upon to have party-coloured poodles. But on the other hand, they do occur. When you mix colours, they do occur, and we can't, you know, turn a blind eye to that.
No.
And they are very attractive, and the public love them. You know, they make the most attractive pets, because underneath it all, they don't molt. They're still poodles, and yet they have this attractive markings on them.
Are you saying that you can get black and tan?
Oh, with the black and tans, yeah. Yes, they're very beautiful. And they breed them very well in Germany and in the States. Mm. And they're marked just like a Rottweiler's marked, mm. you know, with a black body with little tan eyebrows and tan bib and beard. Yeah. Very, very pretty. Mm. Very pretty indeed.
Is that a throwback to the genetics of the original breeds that went into the mix of the poodle? Or?
I think it's just a breakup of the genes. It's just a breakup of the genes, and it's just getting the right genes. You know, if you can make the right combination, then you're going to breed it. Mm. I mean, the people that are, I'm not an expert on it, but the people in Germany and in the States that are expert really know just who to mate to who to produce these colours, and they just produce litters of black and tans and litters of party colours. Mm. It's very clever how they do it, because two party colours won't necessarily produce party coloured puppies, they'll produce solid colours.
So it's got to be, it's a recessive.
Yes.
You know, so you need two with the same genes.
Yes, yes. Mm, but it's very interesting and very fascinating, yes. Very attractive as well. Yeah. I mean, it's like, as I say, you know, when there's a lot of this crossing going on at the moment, a lot of it I don't agree with, I have to say. But, I mean, the Bichons being crossed with the Shih Tzus that bring up these beautiful party-coloured Bichons are so attractive.
Yes.
They are so attractive. Mm. I judged an apricot Bichon when I was in the States, which was a white Bichon mother and an apricot toy poodle. Mm. And it was exquisite. It was a peach-coloured Bichon with just black eyelashes. Mm. It was just lovely.
Beautiful. Because they do have gorgeous markings.
Oh, yes, yes.
The black little mouth against the white.
Very attractive. Mm. Very
so
attractive.
Perfect.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Anita is very enthusiastic about her poodles, one of whom we were also lucky enough to meet. So I asked her to give me an overview of the breed.
I breed poodles. Yes. I breed toys and standard poodles. I mean, I've just come back from Poodle Club of America, actually, and we were there for 5 days while they were doing... they did everything. They did the shooting, hunting, and it was amazing to watch this breed working, because most people think of them as being little silly lap dogs. Yeah. I mean, in point of fact, they are a great working dog. Mm. And to see them retrieving ducks from the lake and everything from the first 2 days was fascinating. Yeah. Absolutely. They're great swimmers. They're great gun dogs. Mm. They're great companion dogs. They're wonderful with children. They have lovely natures. And, of course, the joy of them is that they don't molt.
Yes.
So you don't have the hair problem with them.
Which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. You know, it's good for people with asthmatic children, you know, and you know, because very often this breed are good with asthmatics. Mm. You know, they don't have a problem with them.
It's good for those of us that don't like hoovering.
That's right. People that don't like the housework as well.
Which
excellent,
I don't.
Excellent.
Could be a lazy person's dog.
A lazy person's dog, definitely. But they're lovely. They're a lovely breed. They're a nice breed to own. They're very intelligent. Well, they rank in the top three as intelligence, so they are very intelligent. And that goes from the little toys up to the standards as well.
Say that, is there much difference between the miniature, the toy, the standard, or the character of them?
No, not really. I think the standards are easier to live with. I know that sounds silly because they're a much bigger dog, but they're usually much steadier. Whereas the toys are sort of, you know, rushing about and into everything. Standards tend to sort of sit back a little and sort of let the toys get on with them.
Yeah.
Standards are very easy to live with.
Yeah.
Very easygoing, very laid back about life.
Mm.
And I breed the standards as well, but only in apricot.
Yeah. And the marking things, does that apply to standards as well? Is that all of the sizes?
All of the sizes, yes. I've seen in the States, I've seen beautiful party colour, and in Sweden there is somebody that breeds beautiful party coloured standard poodles in Sweden.
I want to see one now.
You need to see one.
Yes.
I'll have to bring some photo. We'll have to photograph the puppy.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
A pleasure.
Thanks.
If you have a party coloured poodle, I'd love to see a photo or video of your dog. Maybe one day the party markings will be recognised. But whatever colour or size they are, the poodle is clearly an intelligent, versatile breed and a very popular pet.
Hello and welcome to the Dogcast Radio News Desk. I'm Nick.
And I'm Kate. In today's programme, we are starting with an appeal. Sam Leach's family are trying to raise $12,000 so that he can have an autism assistance dog from Four Paws for Ability. Autism assistance dogs help cope with the difficult behaviour associated with the condition, such as in Sam's case, escaping from the house. Four Paws for ability trains and supplies dogs for a variety of situations and does a lot of fundraising to help families afford the cost of these dogs so that the waiting times are kept to a minimum. The organisation's motto is Taking the Dis Out of Disability. Anyone wishing to support the wonderful work carried out can send donations to Four Paws for Ability, 253 Dayton Avenue, Xenia, Ohio 45385. And for further information, visit www.fourpawsforability.org. On that site, you will find the moving story of Four Paws founder Karen Shirk and her inspirational experiences with her own assistance dog, Ben.
And from one type of working dog, we go to another. It can be a dangerous life being a police dog, as one canine found out recently in Guildford, New Hampshire, USA. During the chase of a robbery suspect, police dog Agbar fell from a second-story window. Amazingly, not only was Agbar not injured, but he continued the chase and the suspect was arrested.
Meanwhile, in North Wales in the UK, police are taking a slightly different approach with their dogs. Police dogs here are being muzzled to stop them biting suspects in an attempt to stop people being bitten and claiming compensation from the police force. The dogs are trained to jump at suspects and knock them over rather than using their teeth to detain them. Apparently, one advantage of the system is that people assume a muzzled dog is powerless and are taken by surprise by the charging attack. Supporters have said that this method is achieving great results, although others have suggested this is political correctness gone mad. And the dogs? Well, the dogs just have to put up with it as usual.
And next we have a rescue dog who himself was in need of rescuing. The lost terrier Kobe from California has finally made it back home after being found 1,400 miles away in Texas. The dog had been microchipped, and demonstrating the importance of tagging your dog, whatever method you choose, Kobe was scanned and his microchip allowed him to be identified and flown home. His family are overjoyed to have him back, although how he managed to travel so far remains a mystery.
And finally, news of a new dog-related website, www.specialdog.com. The website contains valuable information and resources on everything the caring dog lover needs to know in order to properly care for and raise their beloved pet. Specialdog.com has been developed by experienced dog breeders Janet and Larry Coombs, specifically for dog lovers who want to properly care for and train their dog. Whether it's a Shih Tzu, Maltese, Bichon Frise, Dachshund, Siberian Husky, or any breed of dog, www.specialdog.com provides all the answers for everything from puppy toilet training, nutrition, and obedience training and grooming. There are also lots of links to other resources containing dog information. The website will also appeal to anyone thinking of adding a dog to their household. It provides valuable resources for choosing the right breed of dog and picking the right dog from the litter. And there's a link to this Aladdin's Cave of Dog Wisdom on the Dogcast site.
That's all from us on the Dogcast Radio News Desk. Until next time, goodbye.
On the Dogcast site, we are still building our breed profiles, and it's been lovely to receive your photos of your dogs. One breed that has proved very popular is the Rottweiler, and I really recommend you check out our Rottie Breed page. Because particularly after the bad press these dogs have had in the UK at least, it's beautiful to see these big softies where they like to be best, in the heart of their family. Till next time, look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. By phone from the UK, you can contact us on 0121 288 0922. From the US, you can contact us on our American number, which is 315 849 2022. From any other country, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121 288 0922. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. And as ever, the final word goes to Jenny.
Why are Dalmatians no good at hide and seek? Because they're always spotted.